We're going to go a little off page. God has been doing so much. We'll do the offering afterwards. How's that? If you guys don't give, we won't be here next week. All right. All right. Yes, we will. And the reason I know that is because years ago, my 27-year-old son, he was just as cute as a button. I mean, we just posted a Throwback Thursday picture and said, guess who this is? I'm looking at that picture of that little guy. Don't our kids grow up fast? It just blows me away, 27 years like that. When he was about two or three, I can't even remember, it was two or three, we flew back. We were in Alabama, and it must have been two, and we flew back, and we had to go to through an airport, and it seemed like we must have walked 2 miles. We had to catch another flight, another plane, you know, connection, and we were late. We were flying through this airport. I mean, we're kind of doing our best to get there, and we're going down these long, gigantic concourses. And you know what a little two-year-old's legs are like? I mean, he just like kind of doing his thing, you know, and he was dressed in green. He had his Ninja Turtle shirt on and his Ninja Turtle shorts and his little blinky Ninja Turtle lights in his shoes that when you step, they blinked. Some of you remember those shoes, right? Some of you are wearing them, okay? God bless you. Those are your Sunday best. And he's doing that, and he's got a little Ninja Turtle suitcase with two little wheels on it, and he's got his little thing, and we're just going. There was a point where he just said, that's it. And he threw a tantrum right in the middle of that airport, which we didn't need because we had to catch a flight. He slapped that little suitcase down, and he plopped himself down and says, I'm not going any further. I quit. Oh, no, there's no quitting. We're catching that flight. You just get those little Ninja Turtle things. And so we did what every parent did. We had like 30 seconds. We had to fly. And I grabbed him. I was exhausted. I had my bag. My wife had her bag. I threw him up over my shoulders and said, it's ninja time. Go, go. And go, go, gadget time. And my wife grabbed that little turtle thing, and off we went. But if it wasn't for such a stressful moment, it would have been really cute. You know, but when you got to get on an airplane, cute, sitting there with his arms crossed and that face, I quit. And you can see everybody going, oh, boy. You know, parents who've been there going, yeah, we were there. Now we're those. We go through airports like, yeah, we were there. Good for you. He was done. My son was done. Have you ever been in a situation where you're just like, God, I'm done. I've walked so far with you, I just quit. And you just pack your bags, you throw them on the ground, you say, I quit. I'm going to tell you, probably every one of us in this room has had moments like that where you're just ready to throw in the towel. I quit. And yet, can I tell you something? There's a plane. There's a destination. There's something just waiting for you if you can just hold on and get on board. It's there. That was Moses. Man, 400 years in slavery, 400 years in Egypt. And you know what happens in 400 years of captivity? You forget about how great God is. When you go through hell, you forget about how great God is in heaven. And Jesus said today in our prayer, hey, Superman. No, he says, hey, Clark Kent, go on in. You need some time in the phone booth. You need some time in the prayer closet and pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Last week you learned your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth just like it's being done today in heaven. Today, Jesus says, give us today. Whew. How many of you could say, boy, yes, give us today this daily bread. God, give us today that manna from heaven. That's what Jesus prays this prayer. It's a foreshadow of something that happened so long ago. He's saying, hey, you remember Moses? You remember 400 years of captivity? They get out and they do what many of us do. Many of you came out of captivity. You said, Jesus, you are my Savior. You surrendered your life to God. And can I tell you, your life probably didn't get a whole lot better the next day. Wait a minute, I just gave my life to Jesus. Where's my new car? Where's that job? You single guys, where's that holy hottie? Because now I'm a man of God since yesterday. Where's it at, God? And God's like, really? You think that's what this is all about? You come out of captivity and God sets you free. And then he says, the first thing I need you to do is go into the wilderness. Wait a minute. I know that wilderness, if you come out of Egypt and you go down and around into that wilderness, I know that's one of that property's for sale and you get it for about a buck an acre. Nobody's buying it. It's a desert. There's no water. There's no food. There's no trees. It's a desert. Why don't we go along the Mediterranean out of Egypt, right up along what's known as the Fertile Crescent? The Fertile Crescent has trees, oases. There's fruit, pomegranates, dates, figs. There are streams. There are brooks. There's food. There's shelter. There's shade. And God says, I don't need that. If I wanted you to have shelter and shade, the day you came out of Egypt, you know what you'd do? You'd go back to Egypt the first time something bad happened because your life was so easy. And God doesn't want your life. I just can't believe I'm going to say this. God doesn't want your life so easy. Some of you think coming to Jesus was some kind of wish list, magic genie, super Santa Claus. Can I tell you, some of you came to Jesus and you went, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. What? You got to be kidding me. I don't have time to pull punches. My vacation came and went like that. And I thought, Jesus, that was just too fast. I looked forward to that for a month and now it's over. It'll be 10, 20 years and I'll be in heaven. I don't have time to pull punches because too many people need to hear the truth. And here's the truth. Jesus wants to take you and say, give us his daily bread. He cannot give you the daily bread while you're sitting at the horse's trough, feeding your face with junk food. What do I mean by that? I mean this. If God took you up through the easy route, tomorrow you'd go back to your old ways. So God's taken you through the wilderness so that you will depend on him and not on you. He's going to do everything he can to rip everything you have out of your hands so that you no longer are in control. So control freaks, Christianity is for you, but it's going to be a whole lot harder for you than it was for me. The longer you hold on, the longer that desert is. For Moses, it was 40 years till they got it figured out. And you know what? We all want the miracle before we get into the madness. Isn't it true? We all want the miracle before the madness. We all look at that and we go, God, I'll go there. You're telling me there's a promised land? You got to go through the problem before you can get to the promise. You got to go through the fear before you get to the faith. You got to go to the desert before you get the manna. You see, it was 40 days. I'll tell you what happens after 40 days of running out of food. They left Egypt with all of their goods, right? And in Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, we see what happens after they start running out of their own human resources. They've been out in the desert for 40 days now, about 45 days actually. They've already been to this camp for a week. They went over here for a while. They went over to Elam for a while. And now they're there. And in Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, here's their solution to a problem. We have that. We can bring that up. Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. The Israelites said to themselves, hey, if only we had died. Well, there's our answer. I'm so glad to be out here in the wilderness. No, I'd rather be dead. I'm so glad I'm a part of grace. Because God's going to change my life. And I gave my life to the Lord. I go home. My car broke down. My dog ran away. The fish turned belly up in the toilet. Everything's dying and falling apart. Well, I wish we'd have been in Egypt. And I love this, how amnesic humans can be. Well, you know, 40 days ago, as I remember it, we used to sit around pots of meat and we ate all the food we want. Boy, yeah. And you could just see them out there in the desert. We've run out of food. They start grumbling and complaining. Boy, I remember we had an Outback Steakhouse back in Egypt. I had a lifetime membership to Panera Bread. They're doing this. And are you telling me? Are you kidding me? Let me think about this. You guys were whipped. You were told to make bricks with mortar and straw. And when you complained, they took the straw away and said, still keep the same quota. In fact, Moses had to kill someone who was whipping one of you. Oh, no, 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 no. I remember it like it was yesterday. And you know what happens? If God doesn't take us through a wilderness, we never get to the place where it's easier to turn back than to go forward. If we don't go through a wilderness, we'll go back to our old ways. God wants to take you through it, but if God is going to take you to it, he will take you through it. He took them out there, and there they stood for 40 days. He said, Moses, what are we going to do? You had one goal, get us out here and kill 2 million of us. Yep, that was my plan. I brought you all here to Grace Ministry Center on this Sunday morning. I brought you all here to do one thing, to give you manna. You know what's funny? I read up on manna. Manna is this really crazy bread that God brought down from heaven, right? And they ate it. God showed up. The early Catholic Church, they got a little goofy in the Dark Ages. And in the 10th century and the 12th century, right in there, a couple hundred years, they started selling manna. It was called the manna. The manna of St. Nicholas of BG. That's where St. Nicholas lived. He was actually a saint, okay, in the third century. Or, I'm sorry, the second century. And when he died in his tomb was below sea level. And so they would go there near Italy, and they would go in, and they found this liquid that came out, and they were selling this stuff and calling it holy manna, and they sold it. Well, around the 16th century, some Italian ladies got a hold of this stuff, and they started selling it and giving it to their husbands to drink. It was pure cyanide. And after 600 men had died eating the manna, the Italian government got this thing figured out. Said, wait a minute, they're mass slaughtering their husbands. There's a little history for you. Now you learn something. I don't know what you're going to do with that. Where was I? So they said, you brought us out here to kill us. Really? That's your whole goal? And Moses like, yeah, that's what I did. God told me to save every one of you, to bring you out here to kill you. No, God has a promise, and God's promise is incredible. He wants to take you to a place and restore in you what Satan has stolen from you. He wants to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Christians, things have not changed. God still wants to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. It may not be this side of heaven, but trust me, his goal is to get you through the wilderness so that you will trust in him and get all of your faith out of yourself and into him. That's God's goal for you. If you're not there, you're going to be in the wilderness a little longer. Get through it. God, that's what the manna is. And Jesus said, God, give us this day our daily bread. You know what's amazing about this? They get out there, and all of a sudden in the morning, they wake up, and there's the manna. It was this dew that showed up in the morning in the desert, which is very common, by the way. It still happens today. And by 10 a.m., the dew burns off into kind of a mist. Well, when that happened, they found this bread-like substance, and they said, what is it? By the way, that is the Hebrew word for manna. What is it? So they said manna. So when you say, what's manna? What is it? And I think that's interesting today because for you and I, when we open up the Word of God in the morning, when the dew is gone and we're trying to get our daily, give us this day our daily bread, and we open up and we're like, what is it? And we're asking God, what is it? What do you have for me today? And you know what's interesting? Some people try to live in the past. They like day-old bread. God doesn't have day-old bread in Scripture. He says, gather it up today, what you need for today. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Folks, some of you are still trying to live on yesterday's blessings. They woke up, some of them said, oh, this is good. This is good. Yes, God, I got you. And they started putting stuff away for tomorrow because they don't trust God. Let me say this to you. There's a lot of people who don't trust God. Some of you are still struggling with this. Let me help you because if this can set you free in your faith walk today, God wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. The manna didn't show up and they went, the desert. Oh, there's a breadcrumb trail leading to the promised land. Let's walk out. Look at there. There's manna. No, the manna didn't show up until the faith showed up. You step in the wilderness, then the manna. Some of you are waiting for the blessing of God to trust him, and God says, trust me, and then I'll bring the blessing. You got it backwards. You're walking by sight, not by faith. So that's where the Scripture's at. And I want to help you in this because if you can learn this, it can change everything in your family, everything in your relationships, everything in everything you do. Walk by faith and not by sight. We're doing that as a church. We know this as a church. We're moving forward. God has something for us. March 22nd, we're going to gather together over at Landmark Academy. I walked over there and I said, can we use your building? Yeah, absolutely. I said, well, how much do we got to pay? He says, Pastor, just don't even worry about it. Just come on over here. He gives us twice the space that we met last year. I don't know what that looks like. Last year, we met together as a church and we said, we know God said, get ready. There's an ark you didn't build and get ready. 3 years. Here we go. So last year was year one. This March is year two. And by next March, I know that God's going to pull that ark right up to our front door and we're going to go, there it is. We knew it was coming. It's so easy in my sight to go, well, that ark, everybody says, oh, that ark. Well, there's 108,000 square feet at Kmart. Wow, would that be neat? We can just after church go right to Sam's Club. Telling you, the pizza deal, two slices of pizza and a pop for $2.98, I'm telling you, we've had a few dates there. I'm not a cheap date. I'm an inexpensive date. Oh, what about the old Art Van building? What about this mall? I mean, doors just keep opening up, and it would be easy for me to look for the bread and go, okay, God, I'll move when you show me. And God says, no, you step out there. And last year, we stepped out. We put our foot in the wilderness. And 400 of us went over there, and we said, yes, we believe you, God. And we pledged about $80,000. And are you kidding me? We're giving money. You know, usually you give money to something you can see. People say, well, what does it look like, Pastor? It looks like this. Well, what does that look like? Exactly. I don't know. But I'm not in any hurry until God says it's time. Because we're going to be world changers. God did not call us to be pew sitters. He called us to change the world. I'll tell you, there's people changing the world for bad. I'm going to change the world for good. You don't believe me? God is calling us to step out and into this thing. God is calling us to change the way we think. God is calling us to man a living. Give us this day. You cannot live on yesterday's blessing. Some of you are like, well, you know, 5 years ago, I remember what God did. Every one of us know people who are trying to live in the past. You know what? They woke up that next morning with that manna. They didn't trust God. They stored that away. They go, I got this, God. I got this. And you know what we do? They woke up, they had maggots. It was all full of maggots. God's blessing is for you today. And guess what? Tomorrow, you need new wine. Jesus told his disciples, and he told the Pharisees, God doesn't put new wine into old wineskins. You put new wine into old wineskins, it'll burst. Because that wine, it's called the must. It's the fermenting. Boy, that bouquet starts to expand. And you got to have something that'll expand and stretch with it. You got to have something that can handle it. He's saying, Pharisees, in your old legal system, Pharisees, in your stinking thinking, in the way you think that an animal is going to get you to heaven, I'm going to tell you something. New wine needs to go into new wineskins. You got to start thinking in a new way. You got to be able to expand with Jesus. Some of you don't have blessings because you're still thinking in the old ways. You got to get in the new ways so God can put new wine in you. And you can't have maggots in the morning. You got to say, this is the day the Lord has made. God, give me this day my daily bread. And then tomorrow morning when you wake up, you got to say, God, give me this day my daily bread. What is it? And you got to wake up Tuesday and say, what is it? What is it? What is it? And you got to find it in the morning and not in the evening. Some of you, if I said you don't eat, some of you go, what, what? Yeah, don't eat. Don't eat until you spend time with God. Go to work without eating. Don't have lunch. And go to work and go to your job and go to your sporting things and go to your evening stuff and not eating all day. Some of you get kind of grumpy. You're like those Snickers commercial. You're not yourself. You know what I'm talking about. You put food in because you need energy. Some of you grab your coffee. There's a ton of coffees in here. Some of you got to have your coffee. Some of you, I know some of you, I don't drink coffee. I can't do coffee. I cannot do coffee. Some of you are like, if I don't have my coffee, Pastor, hell hath no fury like me without my Folgers or my Tim Hortons or my Starbucks or my whatever. I tried coffee twice. I was like that little squirrel on Over the Hedge. I was like, I cannot. I'm already ADD. I couldn't capture a thought in my brain. I was like, honey, I had some coffee. I had some coffee. My stomach was going crazy. My brain, my heart was palpitating. I said, I can't ever drink coffee. That will wreck me. Some of you need to get your Jesus in the morning so you can get the energy and get rid of your inertia. A body at rest tends to stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. And had God not stepped into the situation, you had a body of 2 million people in a desert going, "We quit." I had a son sitting in an airport going, "We quit." I have people in church all the time going, "God, I quit." And God comes in with his manna. He brings in a fresh new wine, and he will bless you, and he will be an outside force and move you into the promise that he has for you. You got to get into it. So, oh my goodness, so off page. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he just told me his story, blew my mind. He said, "Pastor, we're so much alike." I said, "Oh, no, we're not." He goes, "You used to do drugs, you used to be in gangs, you used to have this." I said, "That was like 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Parents coming to me, "Oh, you need to talk to my son. You used to do drugs, and boy, you can relate." I said, "I'm 51 years old. How can I relate?" "Well, you used to do drugs." I said, I understand what they're going through, but to be honest with you, that man is not who I am. Who I was is not who I am anymore. And who I am is who I'm not. I'm not the person I'm going to be here in the next 5 years. Listen, I'm changing. I can tell you all about the drugs and say God can change you, yes. But the idea that we're going to sit around, we're going to talk about those drugs, everything's changing. I'm a new man in Christ. Jesus said to me in John 10:10, the devil came to kill you. And he was killing me. I was dying. I was going to hell in a handbasket. He came to steal. He stole the joy. He stole what God gave Adam in the garden. He stole that. And he came to destroy. He came to destroy my life. I was so hungry for relationships. I was using and abusing relationships in the worst way. I was drinking myself to oblivion and then having to have somebody drive me around to find my car. I understand these things. I hung upside down for 3 days off and on in my dorm room and never left with a bunch of guys and ordered food and smoked more pot than I could ever imagine in gravity inversion boots hanging from the ceiling with an F-15 fighter mask and a 3-foot bong called Bertha. I wasted my brains and my life. I was empty. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the Bible says. But it's not a period, it's a comma. But Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life. Life abundantly." See, when God took Moses and them into the wilderness, he said, "Listen, trust me, get your faith in me. Let me get everything out of your hands so you can have life in me and not in yourself." And boy, did I discover that life. And that life says abundantly to the full. That word is perosis. The word perosis is like periscope. It's easy to remember. And that word perosis means abundant, over the top. And as I shared yesterday with a friend of mine, I said it's exaggerated. I caught a fish this big. Let me explain it to you this way. When my wife and I were on a cruise last week for a few of our days, we just found this really good deal and we jumped it. We weren't planning on it. It was a last-minute deal on our other part of our vacation. Said, "We can go to the Bahamas for 4 days, all food included. Are you kidding me? I can't even hardly get a hotel for this cost, and we're going to be gone for almost a week." So we went on. The last day were 15 to 30-foot waves. Oh, yeah. I mean, this place was rocking. So on the back, we jumped in the back jacuzzi thinking, "Well, we'll just jump in the back jacuzzi and we'll just kind of float while the ship is doing this." I'm watching clouds that are, you'd see them for a second, and then they disappear, and then they'd come back a few seconds. I said, "I've never seen that before." As we're rocking, the water's going everywhere, and it didn't help us to not experience this awesome 15 to 30-foot waves. So what did I do? I just took a rope, I threw it overboard, and I grabbed a boogie board, and I surfed behind this thing on this gigantic cruise line ship. I went surfing on 30-foot waves in the Caribbean behind a Carnival cruise line. The fish was that big. That's what this word means from Jesus. "I have come to give you life and life over the top," and it's translated in the Greek, "embellished and exaggerated." God wants to exaggerate your life and mine. God did not die for me to sit in a pew. God did not die for me to live in Port Huron my whole life and say, "This is it, God." By the way, I do live in Port Huron. And this is not just it. You see, I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. Grace Ministry is a world-changing church. and you want to say exaggerated and embellished. And so he raises up an intern, and some of our core kids from 5-6 years ago became core kids and went One Nation One Day and shared Jesus with 9 million people in a country in Central America. Since that time, we're going to go out to Wyoming to a dude ranch where I know a guy who in the Cheyenne Nation is the number one pistol shooter on bareback on horses, does cowboy churches, and is in the Dog Patch, which is the Navy SEALs of the Cheyenne tribe. One of my best friends who was here a couple years ago that spoke is First Sergeant Shannon Brasher, who led 1,000 Marines in Desert Storm and conquered 120,000 Iraqi troops. He has 3 Purple Hearts. Some of his best friends growing up playing baseball was Nolan Ryan, and he went to dance classes with his best friend by the name of Patrick Swayze and took classes from his mom. He's my friend. My brother and my uncle just won the award for the invention of changing water as we know it in Paris, France, and is now in April going to open up the number $1 billion company to change clean water in every place in this world. I'm telling you, exaggerate, embellish. Why not? The alternative is to sit back and say, nope, I'm going to sit in a pew on another Sunday morning. It's cold outside. And you know what? It was a good sermon, but I'm going to go back to the same old, the pots and the pans around the fires of Egypt. Not me. Not me. You want to join me on this adventure? Then grab a rope. Let's throw it off of the Lido deck. Let's grab a surfboard and let's go catch the wave of God, because he's going to move with you or he's going to move without you. He moves the oceans. He holds the stars in their place. And better than that, the biggest boast I have today is the Son of God by the Holy Spirit dwells within this body. That is awesome to me. So what are you going to do with your life? Let me close the service this way. What are you going to do with your life? I want to go into a wilderness? No, I don't want to go into a wilderness. But if that's what it takes to get me to the promise, that's where I'm going. If that's going to take me from turning back, listen, 40 years in Egypt, it was a whole lot easier going forward into what they did not know than back into slavery. Had they gone through the Fertile Crescent an easy way, I believe most Christians would simply go back to the old way of their old life. If God didn't make this tough, it wouldn't be worth it. My faith is worth it, and that's why 21 men can bow their knee on a beach in the sands of Egypt. That's why our sons and our husbands and our fathers and our moms and our daughters serve in our nation, because they believe in something better and they will go protect our freedom. That's why when I vote, I'm going to vote to change things. I don't like the idea of an imam praying at the White House where no Christian pastor is invited. I don't like that. And I'm not afraid to say it. It's time we change the way we think. Christianity is being assaulted on every side. Pray for our nation. Okay? Father, give me this day my daily bread. What is it? And I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to go for it. See, I learned on this trip that God can change everything so quickly. What are you filling your mind with? These guys needed 40 years of brainwashing. How many years do you need of brainwashing? 24 hours, my wife and I, as I close, my wife and I are on this ship, and it's happened before. We went on a cruise. We took several years ago. We took about 35 from Grace, and we went. And I remember us having a bad day one day, and most everybody on the ship was downstairs sharing their dinners with buckets. We were on this thing, and we're walking along, and I'm not kidding. We're walking along, and we're going down the hallway in the afternoon, and we're just like, okay, what are we going to do? She says, I need to go downstairs, and I need to get some pills, or I'm done. And I'm thinking, I don't usually get seasick, but I'm thinking, this is pretty rough. And we're walking. I mean, we're just going down, and everywhere we go, we're trying to do this. That night, we said, we're going to go to the captain's chair. We did, and we're just watching our water rock at our table going, how does this stuff even stay on here? That night, we were going to a show, and then afterwards, we were going to go out and have some fun and go dancing in an 80s club to some nice, good old music and go, this is going to be so much fun on the ship. We went to the show. They canceled the show. They canceled the Michael Jackson tribute because they were afraid all the dancers were going to twist their ankles. I mean, this is bad because they're used to this stuff. This thing's rocking. I mean, the curtain is flying back and forth, and we're sitting in this 1,000-seat, 2-story theater in the front of this ship. And this guy comes out, he goes, they have me instead. And this guy gets up on a unicycle with swords, and he's a juggler. See, he said, isn't it interesting? They didn't want them to twist their ankles, but hey, no problem. He was good. A little sarcasm added. After that, I said, well, let's go change and let's go. Well, we went back to our room and kind of thought, well, maybe we should lay down for a little bit. She was out cold, just rocked to sleep over by the wall, where rocking back and forth. And all night long, I was using my right arm to not flip out of the bed, just kind of holding on, going, okay, this is fun. We finally got into port that morning at 7 a.m. after 24 hours of this. The captain said, hey, for a couple days, this might affect you. 3 days later, we're walking in Orlando, walking down the sidewalk. And, I mean, we're doing this, holding on to each other. People are looking, they're drunk. I'm not kidding you. We bumped into a couple. We're walking down, and I mean, we didn't bump, but, I mean, we're going along. It's like, oh, sorry. Because all of a sudden, we both looked at each other. Yeah, the sidewalk started doing this. We're sitting eating, and we're going, boy, the whole room is moving. Don't blink. 3 days of this. We went to B.B. King's to a blues place to go have dinner. I said, this is awesome. And at B.B. King's, they had this band. It was 80s galore, Parliament, Gap Band, Sir Knows Devoid of Funk. Some of this makes no sense to any of you, but I grew up on this stuff. I mean, it's old school Harlem 70s music. And everybody's dressed in 70s outfits. I mean, it just had that feel. I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people were dressed. You just felt like you were in Harlem in the 70s. The music, the atmosphere, it was awesome. And there we were. I said, let's go out and dance one of these songs. We went out on the dance floor. And I'd like to tell you I'm a good dancer, which I'm not. I have no rhythm. But I'm telling you, at one point, that floor started doing this. And they're out there doing this nice beat. And I'm sliding across the floor. And I think people are going, not bad for a white guy. We were having the time of our lives. But for a while there, the whole dance floor was moving. We were having the best time of our lives. 5 days later, I'm back here at a board meeting, sitting in a chair. I had to stop the board meeting for a second. Said, hold on. The room started spinning, and my chair started tipping over. Well, the chair wasn't going anywhere. I just felt like I was on that ship again, going 15 to 30 feet. 24 hours. That's all it took to train my brain. 24 hours, and my brain gave me a new reality. I was walking down the street, I had a new reality. I was out on a dance floor, I had a new reality. I was everywhere, and my brain told me, you're 15 to 30 right now. 15 to 30. If my brain could be trained into, and it's not even real, imagine what we could do by faith. If we train our minds, today, God, give me that bread. Today, God, give me that bread. Today, God, you start putting that bread in you. I can do all things through Christ. Greater is he that is in me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can take every stronghold and make it obedient and cast it down by the weapons of our warfare. For God so loved me. On and on. We start putting that in. Do you know what's going to happen? You'll be walking down the street and it's going to rock your world. You'll be sitting at work and it's going to rock your world. You're going to be bumping into people and say, excuse me, I have a new reality. I walk by faith and not by sight. Are you ready to pray that prayer? Father, give us this day our daily bread. I need it. It'll change everything. Let's stand together. My son threw his suitcase down. He was done. I'm telling you, he was done. It took his father to pick him up and put him on his shoulders to get this thing done. Some of you in here might be in that place right now. Maybe you've gone through some things and you're just done. Can I tell you, your father's going to pick you up. He'll get you through it if he brought you to it. Trust him this morning. Father in heaven, we trust you and we ask for your help. We ask God that you would just watch over us. Give us strength. Father, we pray over this offering. We pray over the tithes and offerings this morning. We ask in Jesus' name that you would bless them and use them, that we can change our world right here. Exaggerate our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The ushers are going to come forward if they would. Or no, they'll just be at the door, folks, and on your way out.